Our subject for the present conference is Bethlehem, the School of Sanctity. We know that God came into the world to teach us the way to heaven. Everything, therefore, about Christ's life on earth is meant to be instructive. This instruction began at Nazareth and continued to the Ascension. Christmas is an essential part of this divine pedagogy. There are, I believe, especially three lessons that Bethlehem can teach us. First lesson: faith is the foundation of Christianity. Second lesson: humility is the foundation of faith. Third lesson: poverty is the condition for humility. Faith is the foundation of Christianity. Everything about Bethlehem breathes of faith. There is the faith of Mary, who believed that the child she had just brought into the world was her God. No mother in the history of mankind has had her faith tested the way Mary's was when she gave birth to Jesus. There was the faith of Joseph, who believed that the child that Mary carried and then gave birth to, knowing it was not his child, to believe that the child was, what an act of faith conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. The faith of the shepherds . Imagine having angels appear to you at night. Simple people. Simple faith. And after they had seen, what did they see? They saw a child. What's so mysterious about that? Oh, but they believed. They believed that this child, cradled in his mother's arms, was their Creator and Lord. What then does Bethlehem teach us? It teaches us that without faith, no one is a Christian. Indeed, depending on the strength of our faith, we are correspondingly either good or merely nominal Christians. Once a person believes, marvelous things happen. Faith is the key to an extraordinary light, the light to see what only the believer can see. That a child, a parent like everyone else, is the Lord of heaven and earth. Recall, however, before we close this first lesson, the promise which the angels made. I bring you, they were told, news of great joy, a joy to be shared by the whole people. Not only does faith bring light, but faith brings joy. If only believers can see, only believers are truly happy. And the depth of our joy is in direct proportion to the depth of our faith. End of lesson one. Lesson two. Humility is the foundation for faith. We cannot imagine more humble circumstances in which Christ could have come into the world. Talk about the inventive genius of God. And it all began, this humility, with God's becoming man, my favorite definition of the incarnation, the humiliation of God. Humility means having, but not showing off. Humility means being rich, but not being proud of what you have. This is our faith. We believe the child born at Bethlehem was the eternal, almighty Word of God. The moment, again we believe, the moment this eternal Word willed the world to come into existence, it was made. Yet, all the fathers of the church, all the great masters of the spiritual life, never tire repeating, the almighty Word of God became the speechless child. That's what infant means. the one, what shall we say, who cannot talk? The one who in humility chose not to speak. The humility of Mary in going to Bethlehem, anticipating, she knew what was going to happen. Yet, I insert the adverb humbly. She humbly treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Not one word from the eternal Word of God. Not one recorded word of Mary. Not one recorded word of Joseph. Talk about humility. And the shepherds, they humbly followed the angel's directives, and I like this. Luke is the evangelist of speed. Did you know that? Right after the Annunciation, when he tells Our Lady that her kinswoman Elizabeth has conceived in her old age, and the angel leaves her, Luke says, Mary got up. No matter how you translate the Greek, she ran. And now, the angels tell the shepherds, you will find a child, the Messiah, foretold for centuries by the prophets. And they humbly believed. Here's Luke again. And they ran. With Mary, charity is always in a hurry to help. With the shepherds, humility is always in a hurry to see. If without faith there is no Christianity, without humility of mind, there is no faith. Over the centuries and today, who have been the church's worst enemies? Those who had believed and through pride of intellect demanded proof from God. We believe as strongly as we humble our intellects in faith. One more lesson. That was the end of lesson two. Poverty is the condition for humility. Whatever else Bethlehem is, and it's many things, it is the divinely ordained symbol of poverty. In the logic of the divinity, the angels could not have appeared to anyone else. It had to be poor shepherds. And incidentally, that logic has been carried on over the centuries. Right? Lord, Fatima. The poverty of Christ. being born in a stable or cave, make your choice. And as I never tire repeating, though I appreciate the poetic language in the standard English translations, she gave birth to her firstborn child, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. I like the expression, swaddling clothes and manger. But I know enough of the original language in which the gospel was written to know that the literal translation is, she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in rags, in whatever strips of cloth she could find to cover the nakedness of God. And she laid him in a trough, surely that is poverty. But mind you, all of this was designed poverty, planned poverty, willed poverty, chosen poverty. Mary and Joseph, having no room in the inn. It doesn't really matter, an exegete speculate. Maybe there was room, but these two bedraggled people showing up late at night, they were turned away. Or maybe there really was no room. It doesn't matter. The fact is, God came to his own, and his own received him not. I don't hesitate saying that Bethlehem is not only a symbol of poverty, it is the sacrament of poverty. Through now 19 centuries of meditating on the poverty of the infinite God when he became man, countless believers have not only been thrilled or inspired to admire, but by the grace that is still coming from Bethlehem, have been enabled to imitate. A sacrament is no mere symbol. It is a symbol which produces what it symbolizes. Bethlehem has produced countless lovers of poverty. Now we begin to apply to ourselves this third and hardest lesson of the school of Bethlehem. The essence of the poverty of Bethlehem is not in not having. It is essentially in detachment. Christ coined the word for it. And he made it. He had to make it, because that's where it belongs. The first of the eight Beatitudes. It is the foundation of sanctity. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They, and we may add, no one else, shall possess the kingdom of heaven. No one else but those detached interiorly from the goods of this world have a claim to possessing the riches that awaits only those whether they have much or little externally are totally detached interiorly. Let's make sure we don't miss the meaning of this lesson, because given the sequence of our thought, if without interior poverty of spirit there is no humility, and without humility there can be no faith, and without faith there is no Christianity. We, and how we, affluent Americans, dear Lord, how we need to learn this lesson. A reminder. Wealthy people, rich people, can be detached. And poor people can be sinfully attached. I hope you believe me. The key to poverty of spirit is in the wheels having its heart set on nothing in this world. This, I submit, is the crowning lesson of Christmas Day. Whatever else we should do, I am still learning myself. Let's treasure every opportunity that God provides, and He's constantly providing opportunity for detaching our hearts from creatures. If we don't have them, not to hanker after them. Watch your hearts. Guard your hearts. And if you have whatever you have, the world calls precious, don't fear losing. And how good God is. One after another, He will pluck away creature after creature. And He watches us, whether we let go. Lord Jesus, I believe that You, the helpless child in Mary's arms, are the Almighty God. I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord Jesus, You teach me to be humble in every detail of Your birth in Bethlehem. Make me humble, Lord. Make my heart like unto Thine. Lord Jesus, You practice poverty from the moment You came into the world. The poverty of non-acceptance by the people of Bethlehem. The poverty of being born in a cave. The poverty of being wrapped in rags at Your birth and laid in an animal's trough. The poverty of lacking everything which the world calls good. Detach my heart, dear Lord, from everything in this life except from you, my treasure, my joy, and my God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.